talking about the Rose of Sharon, so this week I'll just make it worse. I'll talk about the Lily of the Valley. I have noticed we have an outstanding crop of wild onions this year. Those I do know about. Wild onions and dandelions are wearing it out. If the tomatoes will grow like the wild onions and the dandelions this year, we'll be ripe. So, if dandelions were gold, I'd be a millionaire. I can tell you that. They are everywhere. I saw some wild onions yesterday. I bet they were close to a foot tall. I don't know how big they were. I don't eat onions, the wild or otherwise. So you can have them. And you're welcome to come to my yard and get all you want. So I said, but they are growing. This is a great little passage, great thought, as Jesus is described here as the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. Again, this is the Shulamite woman who is speaking, but over the years as this passage has been studied and in light of other passages, we have taken and used the phrase the Rose of Sharon and Lily of the Valley, both to be names or descriptors of Jesus Christ. Now, I think as we study them, they are a great lesson. I really have enjoyed myself in the last few weeks in studying for these two messages on studying the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, and all the comparisons and the likenesses, and haven't even shared all of those with you. Didn't share all about the rose, and won't share all about the lily today. But the lily is an interesting flower. It's one of those on the list that I do know it when I see it. That's one of the I forgot that one when I was naming flowers. I do know. I said poinsettias, roses, dandelions, lilies. I can add lilies to the list. I do know what they look like, but honestly, I didn't know a great deal about them, to be honest with you. I know that they come out of Easter. That's the flower of Easter. We talk about Easter lilies, and so it is the flower that kind of matches up in our description of Easter. I did read an interesting article about how that came to be, and there's a lot of discussion about that. Some of it has to do with the whiteness of the flower and the purity that represents, but several different ideas about how the lily became the flower of Easter. But this morning, what I want to talk about for a few moments is again the idea of the comparison of the lily to Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned last week, I was going to say two things that you don't hear preachers say very often. Turn to the book of Solomon, and this is going to be a short sermon. You notice all I said this week was turn to the book of Solomon. I left that second part off. It was kind of funny. There was somebody at the early service who wasn't here last week, and I said, turn to the book of Solomon. I said, did you say Solomon? They didn't even hear what I said last week. But Solomon is a book that we tend to shy away from. But these two comparisons here, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, are just great portraits, I think, for us to understand about Christ. And as I said again, there were numerous things that we could talk about, and numerous ways that we could look at this comparison. But one, there were five, I think, that really stood out to me that I want us to understand and think about this morning as we think about not just how they apply to Christ and how they represent Christ, but how then that affects us and what that means to you and I. This is not just a discussion about Jesus this morning, but as we study the lily and understand how that corresponds to our life, how that should affect us, and how that should bring a difference into our life as we understand and think of Jesus as the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. One of the first things that pop up is just present in that name, and he says when the passage says it, the Lily of the Valley. That means just the place is Christ. I think about that, and I think about the Rose of Sharon. Now, again, I don't know much about flowers at all. I've already shared that with you. But one thing that I do know, roses are kind of high maintenance flowers. I know that about them. You've got to take care of roses. They will kind of go on their own, but if you really want them to be what they can be, if you really want them to be beautiful, if you really want them to spring out, if you don't want them to end up cross-beating with other flowers, things, you really have to take care of roses. They are, like you might describe some people, they are high maintenance flowers. They require a lot of attention. They remind me, I saw a little girl one time, a little elementary school girl, maybe second or third grade, she had on this shirt that said, "Forget about princess, I want to be queen." And that's kind of what a rose is. It's not content with princess. Betty's sitting there looking like, "How can she be queen when I am?" And the rose is kind of that way. It's kind of the queen of flowers. That's kind of the names that the rose has been given. But this verse says to us that the lily of the valley. I don't know about you, but one of the things I've noticed about life is I don't know, maybe I'll sit down and divide it up, but I know that I spend in my life, as long as well as most people would say, I spend my share of time in the valley. Now, there are a lot of people who come along and say, "Oh, you just need to start going to church, you need to get saved, or blah, everything will be better, everything will be okay." Okay, if you read that, go ahead. But what I notice is there's still a whole lot of valley experiences, even in the life of the believer. One of the greatest pictures, one of the pictures I saw as I studied for this message was a great picture that had been taken somewhere around Jerusalem with somebody who was standing up on a hillside and took a picture down into the valley. And the valley was pretty bare, a lot of weeds, a lot of other things going on. And right in the middle of the valley, there was one little lily standing up in the middle of that valley. And it just, it stood out like a showdown. There was no question that this lily was there. It was a beautiful picture. It was just such a contrast to barrenness, the weeds, that just nothing missing. Right there, just one lily standing out in the crowd. I thought, what a great picture of Christ. There are a lot of people, as we go through life, they'll be the friend. I think about that old song from back 30, 30 years ago, the old song, "You got no more money, honey, I got no more time." That's what a lot of people are. As long as everything's doing good in your life, there's some teenagers in here who have learned or are about to learn. But as long as you got a car, as long as you got gas, you have billions. You can take that to the bank. They will be your bestest friend. But the moment you don't have gas and you say, "Hey, can you check in a few dollars for a ride?" They're done with you. The beautiful thing that strikes me about thinking of Jesus as the Lord of the valley is he's not just the Rose of Sharon. Yes, he's the Rose of Sharon. We think about roses. We think about beautiful cultivated gardens. We think about beautiful genders of the Rose family. We think about a lily. It just is a lily that grows in the valley. Lilies grow. If you look in verse 2, there's a statement there that there's a lily among the thorns. The lily will show up in that valley. Not just of time. It's in the valley. I think about all the ways that lilies show up. Some of you, even this morning in your testimony, made mention of Christ showing up at the lily of the valley. They don't always show up the way that we might picture. I'm reminded of that story we read oftentimes at Christmas of the old man that had the vision that Christ was coming to see him three times. And during that evening, he had knocks on the door and humble lady, all those three little things. And at the end of the night, that old man says, "He says, I was there all three times, and you were good to me. You welcomed me in." Listen, we don't always see Christ the way we think that we will. Sometimes it's a greeting card. Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's a pat on the back. Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's a kind word. Sometimes it's the sun. I will guarantee you today that if I was to stop, there were some of you here who, if you were not sure and I were there sure, you're going to be singing today. No, you know what? No, but see their heart, with their songs, pick out a song. And somebody this one, I was going to do this best by that song. Let me understand. Let me know what we're thinking about. But God used it there. God shows up as the lily of the valley when we least expected in ways that we would have never imagined. He sprouts in the valley, he says, among the thorns, among concrete. So, you and I, the other challenge of that is to look at it and say, "Where can I be a lily in somebody's valley?" Where can I be a help to somebody who was going down? I think about, as Dan talked about, Pansy calling Angel being her Simon's mother passed away. I think about, Jordan talking about the prayers, Bobby talking about prayers, others talking about it. How God has shown up in ways that he was a lily in a valley. Listen, all of us want to see roses sometimes, but I got to be honest with you, having a lily in the valley is a great promise. Knowing that, he tells us in the front of this, he says, "Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear any evil." I think about that. Wonder why? Because we have a lily in the valley. You know, as I think about life, you know, it's amazing. I have seen that really in the Bible show up in so many ways. You know, I see, you know, there are a few people in this church who just seem to have a knack of when to send a beating card. Yeah, they just seem to have a knack of when to send a little note, really encouraging word. You go out to the mailbox and you feel and say, oh, you have to get a stool to reach up and get to your mailbox. You know, and you open up, there's a card, somebody sent you. You know, I have a knack of when to come along, put your arm around you. God shows up at the lily of the valley. Not just the words of sharing, but he sprouts in places and gardens and among thistles and thorns and in the valley. When you least expect it, even sometimes when you least deserve it, God shows up at the lily of the valley. One of the places he sprouts teaches me about Christ. The other thing, as I think about that, is the perfume he shares. You know, one of the things I do know about lilies. Now, I don't know a whole lot about lilies, but one thing that I do know is the smell. You know, let me tell you something. If you want to get a lily and you want to get it for somebody and surprise them, it won't happen. Yeah, lilies have a very strong aroma about them. It's a sweet smell. But it's not. You're not going to have that smell. Yeah, you're not going to be able to keep it a secret for the lilies in the house. Yeah, I'm going to be able to put a lily in the house. Yeah, I will promise you that if these lilies right here were real, when you open the front door, you're like, what's that smell? They have a very noticeable aroma. That's part of the reason those are artificial is because they're real, and some folks attribute their allergies. Leave me one of them. They have a very strong aroma to them. They have a smell about them, but you can't cover it up. You just can't hide it. And I think about how that carries over into the description of Jesus. And I know that there may be a little bit different ways than perhaps you think I'm there. But here's what I'm going to say about the aroma of the lily. If there was a lily in this church, you couldn't hide it in this church. If there's a lily in you, you might not be able to hide it. The aroma ought to show. The aroma ought to be shared. You know, you ought to be able to, those who come in contact with you. Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I don't know, not positive, that if you put me in a room and said, what is that smell, that I could tell you that's the smell of a lily. I could probably tell you that's a flower, but I don't know that I could identify the smell of a lily. I know I can smell them when they're real, when they're there. I can smell them, but I don't know that I could identify and pick it out. And those who come into contact with us may not know that they're smelling the lily of the valley. They may not know that what they see is Jesus Christ, but they ought to know something. But they ought to know that something is showing up in our lives. I think about one of the greatest ways I have ever seen the aroma of the lily show up in people's lives. I have seen this, and I could call some names, but I'm not going to. I think about sometimes I have stood in the hospital rooms. And I have watched those who were in pain. I have watched those who were suffering. I have watched those who were sick. I've even seen those who were on their deathbeds, laying in the hospital beds, concerned about others. The staff, the nurses, the those who come in to clean up the room, to carry out the trash, to sweep the floors, come in, and that person is in pain. That person is possibly even facing their own death. Look at that person and say, how is your day? God bless you. Have a good day. Thank you. And look at that. And you can see that sometimes on the face of those who come in there, and it's unique to them. They may not understand it, but they know there's something different about that person in that bed. I remember being in a hospital room on one occasion when someone came in, and one of the staff came in and in discussion mentioned the problem that they were having, something was going on, and that person that day said, can I pray with you? And the look on that person's face was like, yeah. And here they are, they're not in the hospital bed, and they're saying, can I pray with you? Yeah. Can I pray with you? Yeah. I have walked out of hospital rooms before and had one of the nursing staff, some of them in the staff saying, so where are you, Pastor? Where do y'all go to church? And I tell them, and I said, man, she is just the sweetest person. He is just the sweetest fellow. Yeah. That aroma of Christ ought to come off of us. Those who know us, who come into contact with us, whether you're doing your daily about your daily business, whether you're in the neighborhood, people ought to be able to care. There's something different. There's an aroma about them. Listen, if you put a lily in this room, you know it. And if you have a lily in the valley living in your life, those around you ought to smell the aroma. Listen, I can think about, I went working for the bakery. One of the things that a lot of you have done this over the years, you'd work down 85 back when the bakery was over there. You get down around Brookshire, Greenwood, you smell the bacon, you said the bacon bread. There's a fact. A lot of times you didn't know what they were making, you just said they were baking bread. I can tell you, I've been there and been around that. I didn't know that's not bread, they're frying hamburgers. That's not bread, they're making hamburgers. You can just tell the difference after a while. But that aroma just covered that whole neighborhood. You go out here, and go to one of these barbecue places. I mean, a real barbecue place. They actually have wood there that they lit on fire. Those are kind of few and far between. They actually have a piece of wood they light on fire. A lot of places got plugged in their barbecue. Dump it out of a can. But a real barbecue place had a real pit. When you were out there, there people over there. You had a barbecue today, didn't you? You go and you smell it. That aroma would be on you. I think about a little place we used to go and we used to work with. We'd bring those hard plastic trays back and put them in that great big warehouse. And you could smell them all over the whole. You could smell the aroma of that chili all over the whole warehouse. Listen, if the Lord of the Valley lives in you, somebody ought to smell that aroma. Somebody ought to know what's there. They may not know what it is, but they ought to know there's something there. They ought to know there's something special in your life, that something is different. They ought to be able to smell the Lily of the Valley if it lives in you. The place it sprouts, the perfume that it shares. The thing I learned about lilies is the production it spawns. This is interesting to me. I'm not much of a flower person, but here's something I learned about a lily. One lily can produce as many as 50 bulbs. One lily can turn into 51. You plant one lily, and it can reproduce and turn into as many as 51 bulbs. Here's the other thing that goes along with that. Not only that, and I don't know much about these either. I don't hardly know the difference. I know tulips is one of them. But the lilies are what's known as a perennial. They come back year after year after year. Year after year, they return. Listen, the lily of the valley, if it comes to living in our life, there ought to be some production, folks. There ought to be something happening in our lives. Listen, we're not saved to bad works, but we are saved to true work. We are saved to make a difference. We are saved to make other lilies, okay? That if the lily of the valley comes to live in our life, if we are Jesus Christ, then the lily ought to be producing, it ought to be sharing, it ought to be growing. Others ought to be coming to know Christ, ought to be coming to know the lily because of Him living in us. And it ought not ever quit. I hear people sometimes say, let the young folks do it, let the preacher do it, let the bishops do it. Listen, a lily is perennial. It continues to produce year after year after year. I'll give you a quick test to tell you whether you're qualified to work for Jesus Christ or not. Do this. You're qualified. I think about it right now that if you've watched the news, the football players and their two moms and all that, millionaire babies fighting over who's going to get the most millions. I don't know about y'all, but I've been thinking, me and Tom and Martin, Jason, Archie, we'll take him. We'll find us a bunch, and for a whole lot less than what they're talking about, we'll shoot them up. Guarantee it, may not be able to run up, but he'll look back. Y'all wants to play. For a whole lot less than what they're talking about. I may have to use turnovers in the hospital a bit, but we'll give it a whirl. I remember the last time that the football went on strike, I heard somebody say that they were bringing in replacement players. And they were giving them a physical to see if they were qualified to play. And what they did, they were bringing them in and they held up a mirror and put them on the blade on it. If they could fire it up, they were in good enough shape. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You can fire up a mirror, you're in good enough shape to serve God. Some way, somehow, lilies ought to produce. And if the living body lives in you, then you ought to be reproducing through you. There ought to be life coming out of you. You ought to be affecting the lives of people around you. There ought to be a lily that sprouts in the valley, and it sprouts, it has an aroma that's in that you just can't hide, that continues to reproduce. Fourth thing that I noticed about a lily, when we think about the lily of the valley, is the fourth thing, it's the posture it shows. Now, I don't know a great deal about lily, but I had to do some reading and digging into this year, and we don't have a lot of here. But one of the things I read about a lily is that it is one of the tallest plants there is. That left to its own devices, a lily is a very tall plant. The very tall plant, one of the tallest there is. The DNA community, there's really only one hanging here that kind of demonstrates it. The lily, even though it's tall, the head always hangs down. Even though it's tall, the posture of a lily always has its head hanging down. I thought about what a picture of Christ. The Son of God, the perfect, spotless Lamb, hanging on a cross, come to serve, not to be served. Come seeking whom He may. Come to give His life as a sacrificial Lamb. The tallest among us, the greatest, the sinless, the perfect Son of God. And yet we see Him as a broken lamb on a cross. We see Him as a suffering Savior. He said, I didn't come to serve, come to be served, but I come to serve. Come seeking to whom I may save. Come looking, then as the posture of a servant. Then He says, I come to do the will of my Father. What a great portrait of Christ, this great majestic lily, the chair with its head on it. I look at it here. Yeah, I'm not a flower expert, but for my money, I'd say it's one of the prettiest flowers. Not even these artificial ones are pretty. Yeah, lilies are just a beautiful thing. Yeah, as we get closer to Easter, and the ladies decorate the pulpit here and put out the lilies, I think it's just one of the most beautiful seasons of the year. I love the lilies. I think they're just beautiful. And I think about that picture of Christ. What a great flowering bread it is with the posture of its head hung down. Jesus says, it's finished. Jesus says, not my will, but thine. Jesus says, I'll take it. I'll die on a cross for them. The posture. The Bible says the Lion of Judah, the great King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the great Creator and Sustainer of the universe, the one that John describes as being the Word before the Word existed, came and walked on this earth, took on the form of man, walked this earth, and gave His very life's breath for me. What a posture. Well, the great, I think about it. I know what else about this thing. I heard him talk about years ago, he and the righteous thing, the singing that done and then that he could have called 10,000 angels. Because I'll tell you something, he didn't have to call 10,000 angels. He could have sat on that cross and the earth could have swallowed him up. He could have said and called out the lions of the field and they would have came and swallowed him up. He could have taken a call to the lightning of the sky to light him up. But instead, he hung it on the cross and gave it up. For me. The posture that he shows in that lily. As great a flower, the great heart that it has, it still hangs with its head hung down. Jesus stands there as they gamble for his clothes, as they pierce his side, as they mock him. The only time he's ever, that they call on him to be king, he rides in on a donkey. They call on him, the only time he's ever rode on his king is as a mock. As they hang a sign over his head and say, here hangs the King of the Jews. And yet he hung there. For me, the posture that he shows and the power it stores. We don't hear much about this anymore. It's becoming, once again, kind of a growing fad or a growing thing. I want to call it a fad. But when I think of lilies, I think of pretty. That's about the end of the lily to me. But I learned as I studied lilies that once upon a time, a lily was a great part of the old doctor's medicine bag. Lilies were used as a way to help reap verses. I've been thinking about eating a few of them. Lilies were used to make a medicine that were considered great medicine for the liver. I have no idea what dropsy is. That was one of the things that lilies were used to treat. Dropsy is what Maria has when it comes to drinks. She's got the dropsies back there. I don't know what it is. But the lily has a great power stored up in it, of the medicinal qualities it has. I think about Jesus as a great physician. It's one thing to be a physician. It amazes me. You can give them a list of symptoms. You've got this and this. And they give you medicine. I got a new medicine a while back. I went to the doctor. They gave me a different medicine for my allergies. And they gave me a coupon to get it for free the first time. And I went and I got it, and I said, how much would this have been without this coupon? They said $158. I got a feeling next month I'm going to be back to sniffling. Okay? You know, I got more handkerchiefs than I got money. So I got a feeling I'll be back to sniffling. It's not working $158 worth anyway. You know, what we're thinking about, and it's amazing. You know, and it's one thing to be able, as Jesus did, to say to the lame, get up and walk. It's one thing to be able to say to the blind, open up your eyes. But here's the great thing about Jesus, the great physician. You know, one of the phrases we use in the church that I hate. I just hate. Please don't use it around me. If I had a way to take it away, this would be wrong. It would be several, but this would be at the top of our list. And that's the phrase, sin sick. I hate that phrase. You're not sin sick. You're sin dead. Not sin sick. Sin sick gives the wrong picture. The Bible says what? Says you are dead in your trespasses. Says you are dead in sin. People are not sin sick. People are sin dead. Jesus has the ability, as he said over and over, one of the great things, I like to hang around Jesus just to see him tick off funeral directors. Yeah, Jesus, every time he went by a funeral, he lost it up. He would drive the house as nuts. Yeah, he would just drive my little mouth. Every time he went by one, he would mess it up. Listen, he got around and driven the taxi and said, get up! Yeah, I don't know. But Jesus has the ability, not just to heal the sick, but he has the ability to raise the dead. Lazarus, come forth. I've always been taught, Jesus had to say, Lazarus, come forth, not just come forth, because if he'd have said, come forth, everybody in the graveyard would have got up. Yeah, but he had to say, Lazarus, and be specific, or they'd all come walking out. Listen, Jesus has not just the ability to heal the sick, but he has the ability to raise the dead. And you need to know this morning, if you're here without Jesus Christ, you're not sin sick, you're sin dead. You're not just struggling along, making a few mistakes. You're lost. Tommy Evans preached a sermon one time, one of the greatest sermons I've ever heard. He said, how dead is dead. You can't be a little bit dead. You can't, there's several things in this world. You can't be a little bit pregnant, and you can't be a little bit dead. That just isn't possible. This morning, if you're here without Jesus Christ, if you've never accepted Him into your heart as your personal Savior, you're not a little bit sick. You're not a little bit dead. You are dead. You are lost. You are destined for an eternity separated from Jesus Christ. You're dead in your sins. And the lily of the valley has the power to bring you to life.